Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis 1 and verse 27. Hold your hand there and then also turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, if you will. Genesis chapter 1 and then also 1 Timothy as well. Oh, there's tissues up here now. Told people at camp, they said, "Are you getting sick?" And I said, "No, this is Pennsylvania. I never struggled with allergies till I moved here." Amen. And Pennsylvania is telling me exactly what it thinks about me. Amen. But Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, and then also the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to be discussing a topic today that no doubt this world has out of whack. And we've, of course, been going through the study of what does the Bible say about, and, of course, different things there. Today we're going to be talking about what does the Bible say about modesty and identity. Now, I have a series of sermons that I preached a while back. I believe it was last year, if I'm not mistaken, on the clothing that the Bible lays out for a Christian to wear, and clothing that separates, of course, men from women. And I'll go through the whole study of that. And no doubt we'll be going through that again at some point. But if you want that that series there, it is on our sermon audio. We can get it for you in CD form if you want it that way. But either way, I did go through that, and hopefully that'll be a help to you. So I'm not going to deal exactly with what clothing to wear and all of those types of things, but we are going to be talking about modesty and identity. If there is something that that I absolutely get tired of hearing today, is when somebody says, "Well, I identify as..." I don't care what you identify as. It's what the Lord made you. Amen. And let's keep that straight in our minds. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, notice it says this: "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Notice, male and female created he them. Now, in verse 27 there, it says male and female. There's not an asterisk there that says in these other 47 genders that this world tries to talk about today and all of that mess. No, it says male and female. We need to understand that. That's what the Bible says. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 through 7. Notice the Bible says this. 1 Timothy 2, verse, let's do 1 through 10. "Notice, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Notice, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in," there's that word, "modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good work." So we see there that male and female created he them. We see how men should behave. We see that that it also says women should be modest. And understand this, men, we have to be modest as well. This is not just a message that's to the women today. No, this is how all of us behave, all of us act. We should all be modest, and we should identify and be identified with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The God of heaven, who created the world, created men and women. And the Bible says that male and female created he them. And in the book of 1 Timothy, the phrase that we read there was this: modest apparel. God's word speaks of modesty, but it also speaks of identity. The Bible says that male and female created he them. The subject that we must address, of course, is modesty and identity. There is many people in today's time and even preachers today that will not touch this area of identity. They anything that is a catchphrase in the world, they say, well, I'm not going to touch that because I don't want to offend people. And here's the argument that they'll use every time. They'll say, well, there's so many other things to preach on. Well, there are, but we're told to preach the whole counsel of God. And the Bible talks about modesty and identity. Therefore, we must preach about it. Now, oftentimes, as we deal with modesty and identity, it is heavily geared toward women, but the truth is that it must be geared toward both genders. The definition of modesty is this. It is behaving according to a standard of what is proper or decent and pure, especially not displaying one's body. I'm going to read that again. Behaving according to a standard of what is proper or decent and pure, especially not displaying one's body. Modesty is based on the identity that God has an order for all things. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. God has a plan for everything. Everything must be done decently and in order. Now, there are people who have a problem with modesty, and there are people who do not dress in a modest or orderly way. They do not dress in a decent or a pure way. They do not avoid a lewdness in their dress. And as a matter of fact, we live in a nation that seems to be in a competition on who can take off the most clothing but still consider themselves clothed. Do we not? That's how our nation is today. Did you know that according to sources that do not consider themselves Baptist, they do not consider themselves Christian sources, according to those sources, they consider the United States of America as the most immodest nation known to mankind. And that's not Christian sources that are saying that. It's easy for us to say, well, that's just from a Baptist point of view. No, that's from a worldly point of view. When they look all across this world, they say the United States of America is the most undressed nation in the world. An immodest person wears clothing that calls attention to certain sections of their body, whether it be a young lady or an older lady, a young man or an older man. Many people, they wear clothing that leaves no room for the imagination. And understand, that is not how a Christian is supposed to dress. No one should dress that way, but especially someone that is striving to be like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are not to do anything that draws attention to ourselves. Therefore, we should not be wearing clothing that is drawing attention to our body. Understand what I'm saying here. I've preached messages on the Christian's clothing, and they went into detail on some things. And I am in no way saying that we have to walk around dressed in some potato sack or looking Amish or something like that. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying there is a difference between a person that is dressing to glorify the Lord and someone that is dressing to draw the eyes to themselves. There's a difference there. And we should be dressing to glorify the Lord. You know, it is possible to be dressed cleanly and appropriately and still look nice. It's possible. It is very possible. Look, I understand that for men, it is a lot easier for men to dress modestly and not stick out like a sore thumb in this world than it is for women. All of the women that have looked for modest clothing, you understand how hard it is to find things that are modest. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is this, we're doing it for our Lord and Savior. We're not doing it for ourselves. Many people in our nation, and this includes believers, many refuse to say that modesty and identity matter. However, in a world that is undressing themselves, what you're going to find is surveys that have been carried out on thousands of 18-year-old girls, and they have found that 7 out of 10 18-year-old girls in our country are no longer pure. You're also going to find that 8 out of 10 18-year-old young men are no longer pure. What has happened? We've been living in a world that is immodest. And as we consider this issue of identity under normal conditions, we should be able to recognize when we see a person in public, whether that person is a man or a woman, there should be no problem recognizing a person for his or her identity. Can I tell us this morning? You know, men should look like men. They should, and ladies should look like ladies. We should dress and behave like the gender that we are. Problem may not be modesty as we normally consider modesty, but rather identity. So we must deal with both of these things. You must keep your identity and also clothe yourself modestly. This is God's design for our lives. You know, something that is easily seen today is the absence of manhood. The absence of it. Every one of us have seen the number of children today without a father figure in their home. Did you know 1/3 of all children in America, as we've discussed, will be aborted? 1/3 of all children conceived will be born out of wedlock. And only 1/3 of all children conceived will have a mother and a father in the home. What has happened? There's been a lack of manhood. Can I say this morning, and this may not be politically correct, but it's biblically correct. Any male that will impregnate a woman and then leave her to fend for themselves, that is not a man, that is a little boy. It's exactly what that is. I'm not trying to be unkind this morning. I'm trying to say that there is a manhood that is missing today. Men, we need to be teaching our young men to be men. We need to be teaching them to work. The Bible says that if a man does not take care of his own, he is worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. That may not be a popular message, but it's biblical, and we cannot water down the truth. We must declare it. Men are to have humility and also boldness. And understand this, humility without boldness produces an effeminate man, but boldness without humility produces a destructive man. We have to have both of those things. If we are going to live our life as men, identifying as the Lord created us to be, we must be humble, but yet we must be bold. We must be living for the Lord, but also not backing down from the men that God created us to be. We must be bold. We must be humble. This next generation is reliant on that. They need men and women that are striving to follow the Lord, that are going to teach them. What the Bible says in the Old Testament, what the priests would have to do is they would teach them to discern between the holy and the profane. You know what has happened in most homes today? It's this. Well, I'm just going to let them figure it out for themselves. And if they want to live that way, they can. No, we as parents, we are to teach them between the holy and the profane. We are to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Any parent in their right mind, they would not allow their child to walk up to a stove and to just take their hand and just put it on top of that stove while they're watching them. But yet we will allow them over and over and over again to get burnt by the things of this world and not teaching them otherwise. Lord, help us. Why do we have all of these young men that are saying that they're women and all of these women that are saying that they're men? Is because there's been a breakdown in the family and the structure that God has created us to have. There's a breakdown there. And it's not God's fault. It's a sin in our own lives. Lord, help us. First of all, this morning, understand this. God has set a high, holy standard for His people. Look at Leviticus chapter 18, if you will. Leviticus chapter 18. We're going to read a decent amount of verses here and understand the standard that God has set here for His people. It's a high and it's a holy standard. Leviticus chapter 18, starting in verse 1. The Bible says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So notice the Lord starts out here and he says, I am the Lord. I am the authority. I am in charge. I have ordinances. I have statutes. I have judgments. And these are the things that if you are my people, that you are to live in. The same is true today. Notice, starting in verse 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near the kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of their father, the nakedness of their mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of the woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near a kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Isn't it an abomination? Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Notice there, it talks about all of this nakedness and the sin that's going to happen because it comes. And what God is telling them here is this. He's saying, look, you cannot partake in these things. You cannot uncover the nakedness of someone that is not your wife or not your husband. You cannot uncover that nakedness. And understand this. He said, all of the nations that I'm driving out before you, all of the nations that are feeling my judgment, all of the nations that are going through my wrath right now, they're going through that because they've committed these exact sins. So do not do this. What did Israel do? They did these things. And then they get mad at God that his judgment comes down upon them. He says, I gave you my statutes. I gave you my my laws and my judgments and all of those things. I told you I'm the Lord your God. I told you I'm going to take care of you. I said that if you do this, these bad things are going to happen. He says, I warned you. You know, God warned us as well. What have we done as a nation? We've gone against that warning. People have uncovered themselves. When you come to the book of Leviticus chapter 18, we find what the Lord says about his people being identified as the people of God. They are to be a testimony and a witness to other people. He gives high, holy standards for his people. I want you to look at Leviticus 19, verse 1 and 2, and it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. We find that he's a holy God. He demands a holy people. Our standard is not to be the world's standard. You know, our standard is not even to be just a step above the world. Not one time in the Bible are we told to just be a little bit better than the world. But we're told to be holy. We're told to be like Christ. We are told to live a holy life. In the 18th chapter of Leviticus, we see many times that God talks about the nakedness, because after there is nakedness, and this is true in our land and has been true in every civilization since the beginning of time, when the nakedness started, when people began to uncover themselves in front of other people, as soon as that happened, every sexual barrier was broken down and anything goes in man's eyes once you uncover the nakedness. And the world knows this. The famous rock performer and actress as well, Madonna, is quoted as saying this: "We've broken all the rules. There are no rules left to break." And then she said this: "All there is left for us to do, start over, make new rules, and break them." Think about that. As much as we would say, well, that'd be a terrible way to live, that's the way that people and even many believers have lived for a very long time. Rather than saying, this is what God said, therefore that's what I'm going to do, we look for ways around the law of God. There must be people in this generation who are going to say, we are God's children, we are God's people, we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has set a high, holy standard for us, and the standard that God has set for us is not to be the world's standard. We do not think that we should be just one step better than the world. No, we are to be pleasing God. We are to be understanding that God's law is what is best for us. God's desire is for us to live by His standards, separated to God and from the world. That is not the enemy of evangelism. That is essential in evangelism. There must be a difference in our lives if we're going to make a difference with our lives. What you're going to find are in so many so-called churches today, they've done away with standards of all kinds of things, but especially standards of dress. And they've done that and they've said things like this: well, we'll be able to reach more people this way. Well, if you reach people with nakedness, you have to keep them with nakedness. If you reach them with the Word of God, then you can keep them with the Word of God. Amen. Let's be true to the Bible. These people are trying to win the world by being like the world. We need to have the desire to dress modestly, to be identified as a man for those of us that are men, and as a woman for those of us who are women here today. The standard is the standard. Each and every one of us, our standard for our life must come out of a desire to live a holy life and walk with God. One man said this: it is not discipline that produces godliness, it is godliness that produces discipline. People say, as long as I'm disciplined, then I'm going to be godly. No, you have to have a desire that comes from within. I have a desire to be godly, therefore I'm going to live out these disciplines in my life. If we try to start on the outside, then we're going to fail. Living the Christian life must start with a heart that's devoted to Jesus Christ. We must have a heart for God. Notice also, secondly this morning and quickly, God makes a separation in gender. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22, we see that God makes a separation in gender. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. Notice the Bible says this: the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know, there is a difference between men and women. We should know that here today. There's a difference between men's clothing and women's clothing. And who is going to set that standard? Well, in this world that we live in, we would say, well, it was in the men's section. Therefore, it must be okay for a man to wear. Well, you better be careful because there are some men's sections in stores today that include dresses and skirts. You're going to buy one of those? Well, it's in the men's section. Church, the world cannot set the standard of what is modern. Today, God sets our standard. We need to follow His plan. God has already set that standard, and He expects His people to be obedient to His standard. God's people must realize that the Lord has made separations between the genders. Men should dress like men, and women should dress like women. Men should wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and women should wear that which pertaineth to a woman. It's amazing to me that in this world that we live in, the signs that we hang on our bathrooms to tell us which one is men and which one is women, they know more about how a man should dress and a woman should dress than most preachers do today. Lord, help us. God has set the standard. Let's follow His standard. God makes a separation. And in Genesis 1:27, what we read this morning was this: male and female created He them. When someone is walking and we see them, whether they're walking toward us or away from us or parallel to us, whatever it may be, there should be no doubt in our minds, if that is a believer that is walking there, it should be no doubt whether it's a man or a woman. There should be no doubt. Because God makes a separation in gender. And God does that for a reason. God has a plan. There are things that women are so much better at than men. I praise the Lord for that. There are many things that my wife is so much better at than me. Many things. God has a plan for each and every one of us. God forbid that someone that calls himself a child of God would say, well, I don't like the way that God made me, therefore I'm going to identify as something else. Lord, help us. You know what we're saying? If that is our mindset, we're saying that God didn't know what He was doing. We're saying that God doesn't know what's best. That's what we're saying. Lord, help us to understand that God makes a separation in gender. And then also, lastly, notice there's a difference between attraction and sexuality. In the closing part of the 90th Psalm, turn over there if you will, Psalm chapter 90. And notice the closing part of this chapter here. We find that there is a difference between attraction and sexuality. However, people often confuse the two. Look at Psalm 90 verse 17. Psalm 90 and verse 17. Notice, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." Notice that word beauty that we see there. Look at verse 16. "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children." We see that word beauty there. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Notice, "whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning and the plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be," notice, "the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I want you to notice the hidden man of the heart. Understand, there is something on the inside that is more beautiful than anything that could ever be on the outside. We must understand that there is a beauty in the inner man. There is a world of difference between what is identified as a sexual attraction and a godly attraction. A woman can dress immodestly. Any woman can dress in a way in which she takes off enough clothing to draw attention to her body. It takes nothing decent, nothing right, nothing pure, and nothing of character to do that. But if we consider that to be attractive, we have missed the whole point. Real attractiveness is the beauty of the inner man, and that is going to show itself in modesty on the outside. Many men have been attracted to something physical only to find out in a matter of days, weeks, or months that it's not an enduring attractiveness. It's staggering to understand that the more than half of the people in this country who get married have their marriages end in divorce. There should be a beauty inside, the beauty of the Lord upon us, the beauty of that inner man that we should be looking for. There are couples here that have been married a long time, ones that have been married longer than I've been alive. Amen. How many here have been married more than 50 years? More than 50 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many years have you guys been married? 52 years. Praise the Lord. It's an amazing thing. And if you were to ask Brother Ross, he would say that Mrs. Ross is the apple of his eye. Amen. The truth of the matter is this. In order to be married for that long and to have a marriage that is glorifying to the Lord, it's more than just outward appearance too. It's the heart on the inside that desires to serve the Lord and love the spouse like God commands. Me and my wife, we've been married for 11 years, nowhere close to 52 years, amen. And it's been 11 years of wedded bliss, amen. I'm sure the Rosses have never had an argument or anything like that. 52 years of bliss, amen. Somehow I convinced my wife to marry me and now she's stuck with me, but that's neither here nor there. But if there's no love that's found beneath the surface, then you know what's going to happen when every single one of us, when what we read about in Ecclesiastes starts to happen, when our bodies start to break down, when things start to not work like they used to and all of that. You know what's going to happen if that love of God is not on the inside? Then all of a sudden the attraction's gone. All of a sudden what we considered to be love was gone. Why? Because it wasn't love to begin with. It was lust. Why do many Christian couples find themselves at the brink of a divorce is because both of them had tried so hard to make themselves attractive on the outside, and they used sexuality to do so, but they never developed the inner man. They violated the principles of modesty and identity and what is orderly in God's Word, and that's not going to work. They're trying to build something on a foundation that is crumbling. We should know the difference between attractiveness and sexuality. We should know that difference there. It's not wrong for someone to be beautiful or to be handsome. No, the Lord created all of us in His image. The Lord sees all of us the exact same way. But the truth of the matter is this, for each and every one of us, as we looked for our spouse, or as some are going to be looking for their spouses in years to come, understand this, it's so much more than what's on the surface. Look for the love of God on the inside. That love of God on the inside, when a person stays close to the Lord, that love will get deeper and deeper. In this world that we live in, the blush is gone. We read about in Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but you can write the reference down. Jeremiah 6, 15 and 16. And then also Jeremiah 8, 12. The Bible says that this nation no longer had its blush. And this is exactly where our nation is today. Every one of us have seen someone in public that is dressed in a way that was embarrassing to even look at. And I've thought to myself many times, that person that is revealing themselves in that way, that is someone's little girl. That's someone's little boy. That's someone's child. And they're showing themselves to this whole world. How did it get to the point in which they were okay with showing that much of their God-given body to this world, showing things to this world that should only be reserved for their future mate? How did it get there? I'll tell you exactly how it got there. At one point, there was a little girl who was dressed in a way that more of her body was showing than she should show. And she felt uncomfortable going out of the house that way, but mommy and daddy thought she was cute. And they allowed her to go into public, and then she slipped on a piece of clothing that would show her stomach area and maybe some of her back. And she said, I've never been out in public this way, but my parents seem to think it's okay. And even though she's uncomfortable with it, she continues to go out into public that way. She feels a little embarrassed on how short her dress may be, and she tries to pull down on the dress to cover herself up, but she finds that the other girls are doing the same thing, so it must be okay. So why should she care? She's embarrassed, but after a while she gets used to it, and she gets used to other parts of her body showing that should be covered. Her dresses continue to get shorter and shorter and tighter and tighter, and she gets older and she continues to show off parts of her body. She just does not care anymore. The dress that she once used to pull on to make it longer to cover her body, she now wants it to be shorter and tighter to accentuate the wrong things. She wants to wear things that are too small for her because she wants to show off her body. She wants to wear clothing that is as revealing as possible to infatuate the minds of people. She does not care whose head she is turning as long as she is turning them. What happened to this little girl between at the time in which she was a little girl to now? What has happened is her blush was gone, because at some point there wasn't a mommy or a daddy that was going to stand there and say, your body was given to you by the Lord. You need to cover up your body. It needs to be reserved for your mate. The world has no business of looking on your body. We need parents that are going to stand up and say, my children are not going to give themselves to this world. This world has lost its blush. And unfortunately, many of them lost their blush even growing up in so-called Christian homes. God forbid if that's any of our homes here today. Christian parents here today, God has set a high, holy standard for us, and we need to set those standards for our children. Do not allow our young ladies to dress in a way that accentuates their bodies, that's going to cause them to lose their blush. Do not allow your young men to uncover themselves in a way that is ungodly. The biblical standard for modesty is from the outside of the shoulders down to the bottom of the knees. Nothing in this area should be shown to this world. That's the biblical standard of modesty. Lord, help us to live that standard. If you're a Christian, you should desire to dress modestly. If you're a Christian young lady, your appearance should clearly identify you as a lady. If you're a Christian young man, you should look like a man. If you're a Christian people, we should be able to be seen by others at a distance and understand that we're dressed in a way that shows we're living differently. We're living in a world that is filled with many people who are lost without Christ. And according to the Bible, they're on their way to hell. We need to love them. We need to care about them. They are welcome in our churches. We can preach the gospel to them, bring them to a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and understand this. We need to be people of compassion, because this world doesn't know what hope is. Let's love the sinners. Hate the sin, amen. Preach them Jesus Christ. And let's not for one second allow ourselves to think that someone has to change how they are on the outside before they change what they are on the inside. It must come the other way. When the Holy Spirit dwells within, it's going to change what's on the out. It will. There's a difference between men and women. We must yield ourselves to God's standard of modesty and identity.